Welcome back to Public Eye Radio on CFAX 1070, Victoria's News Authority, broadcasting from British Columbia's capital city and rebroadcasting on community and co-op radio stations in the Kootenays and Prince George. My name is Bob Russell. I'm your host today. I'm joined in the studio by John Jurisic and Bruce Carter. John, put down your BlackBerry, please.
Checking sports scores.
Okay. I think TJ can bring that up for you on the screen if you want. But
excellent.
We just spent the first hour talking about, you know, what we see as the number one driving issue that's driving the public agenda, and that's the economy. And we got to a conclusion at the end of the hour where we're just getting ready now. Okay, let's start talking about what this means for government and what this means for politics. We were talking about how in Victoria, for example, how do you create growth? How do you market this place? How do you plan for the future? Can you do that when you've got 13 municipalities? You made the comment, John, that, you know what, this has been on the agenda for the chamber, for example, going back 100 years. So one of the things I've always found interesting about how this is discussed here and discussed in the community is that just the misconceptions and misunderstandings about what's involved in doing something like this. We touched on one during the first hour, and that's that, you know, people have this notion that it's about saving money. It's about, you know, cost efficiency, whereas actually, no, regional government usually costs more than local governments for a whole number of reasons that, you know, we need not go into, but it does. And that's been the experience elsewhere where it's happened. But there's also, you know, some other, you know, myths associated with it. One is that, you know, the municipalities have some role to play in deciding whether or not, you know, there's going to be an amalgamation. Well, you know, that would they should talk to the 200 municipalities in the greater Montreal area, all of whom were opposed to amalgamation, who were forced to amalgamate. They should talk to not just all the former municipalities in the greater Toronto area, but the public that voted 65% against amalgamation right before the provincial government amalgamated them. Okay? This is a provincial government decision, and where does it come from? Well, you know, municipalities and municipal government is a provincial responsibility. It is an extension of the provincial government. It is their local arm. It is how they administer things that they deem are best administered locally, like schools. It's why there's school boards. In fact, you know, there were school boards before there were municipalities, and many of them, and it may still be the case in this province, still have the ability to take on municipal responsibilities. I mean, what can happen is that one morning, a provincial government can wake up, it can snap its finger, and all of a sudden, they're gone, or they're amalgamated, or whatever. It is an undisputed power. It is being used very recently in this country, and
that's not commonly known, Bob. That's very interesting.
Yeah. And you know, you need only and Toronto and Montreal are very instructive because not only did you have opposition to amalgamation from every municipality other than the central core municipality, but in Toronto, they actually had a vote and they asked the public. And the public was opposed to it. And the province still did it. Bruce?
Well, in many ways, I will agree with you. It's certainly, you know, every study that we've looked
at.
Hey,
that's a first. let's mark that one, Bob.
We've done a ton of research, particularly in the last 5 years, on amalgamation. And what you have said proves to be true. Yeah. This is not a money-saving experience. Yeah. Indeed, the transition costs money. Yeah. You know, over the long term, 30, 50 years, you know, will you perhaps see some financial efficiencies? Maybe, but that's a long time.
Yeah.
But you will get operational efficiencies. Mm-hmm. Do you know how many traffic planners we have in the municipalities in Greater Victoria? None. Right? Because
okay, well, let me interject for a second because I've got a personal beef. Okay?
Yeah, a couple of intersections. If there are traffic patterns,
exactly,
they would exist.
Okay? This is, and okay, I mean, and I've had this,
Did you know this would open up this can of worms?
This is the only place I have ever lived in my life where when you're driving on a main thoroughfare, the lights are not timed for a specific speed. You can get on Yonge Street in Toronto, the longest street they claim in the world, and you can set your speedometer to a certain speed, and traffic permitting, you can hit every green light.
I think we need to try and find a way to fine you every time you talk about something in Ontario that's better than
exactly. And he hasn't even touched on Alberta.
Exactly. No. Don't get me started on Alberta.
So interesting segue. I'm going to go back to the municipalities aren't large enough to have traffic planners.
Yeah.
We have, I think, three of them in the capital region, well, district. They're the traffic planners that are there, and they do the traffic planning. In most major centers of about 330,000 people, they say you need to have somewhere between 12 and 20 traffic planners in order to get the traffic flow right and to be able to evaluate all the things that go on and to do that properly. The problem is our municipalities are too small to be able to get that expertise. So what happens is that we simply don't have it in the region. We haven't put enough effort to it in the region. And that's evidenced by I don't know how many, you know, intersections. There's that left turn off of Bay Street, to be quite honest. You know, at the end of the Bay Street Bridge. Why is there a left turn there? Just so everybody can back up on the bridge and we can all see the sailboats go by? I don't think so. But anyway. But there's just no end of those things. And so that's what you get is you can start to get the expertise that you need to run the municipalities efficiently, to plan for the future, to get some vision. And it's more effective government that you get. And you may have a coordinated voice as you talk to senior levels of government. But we'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay. Totally agree. Bob, totally agree. But in this final hour, let's try to break some of the myths, get to some action.
Yeah.
Now what? How many times have you presented this objective, logical argument, and it ain't going to happen? Now what? Well, so what happened? I mean, who's in charge of this provincially? IDA?
Yes.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
We think we've had these chats with IDA. It's not going to happen. Is it going to happen with Adrian under a new government, NDP government? I don't know.
Well.
Okay. How do we move this beyond the clearly, yeah, this makes sense?
Well, one of the things that, you know, is characteristic of the NDP, or more characteristic, let's say, of the NDP than it is of other parties, is that they have a bias or a tendency towards more centralized planning of all things. And, you know, that policy, rather than being organic as something that bubbles up out of the ground, or say from 13 different municipalities, is something that is done within a more general framework. And, you know, we have a lot of New Democrat MLAs in this town. Whether we have more or less after the next election, I think it's safe to say we're not going to have fewer after the next election. And should, you know, this party that's been leading in the polls since forever should, you know, happen to form the next government, it seems to me that there's a window. And the issue is, how long does that window last? Because one thing about BC politics is we know that, you know, governments don't get reelected in Victoria. They get reelected somewhere else. So is there an opportunity here? You know, should the government change? And how is that opportunity exploited?
You know, it's an interesting comment about provincial politics. And, you know, there's lots of talk about, you know, left and right, NDP and Liberal. You can almost these days, you know, as you sit here on the island, go, well, you know, there's the lower mainland strategy and then the rest of the province strategy, and it swings as a pendulum. You know, and that's a change of government has tremendous opportunities for the island in Victoria. You know, not the least of which, I have talked to all of the local MLAs, talked to them often, and they're in favor of amalgamation. They get that they need to order it. They get that it's the right thing to do. And, you know, and a part of that, you know, I'm just going to go back to the physical evidence thing. We're talking about the economic action plan and what the priorities were for the region, and we got all the municipalities who sent a list of things to both the federal and provincial governments of the stuff that was a priority to do in the region. So the city of Saanich submitted 250 projects. The city of Victoria submitted over 200 projects. The Economic Development Agency made up a regional list of 10 things and ticked 7 of them off. Right? You know, and we're not the regional – I mean, well, yeah. We are the regional leaders because there's a vacuum.
Yeah.
And you know what? We're going through and we're making that list again.
Yeah.
Because I think there's going to be some infrastructure money come this time next year.
Mm-hmm.
And the list of 250 things from Saanich isn't going to cut it around regional priorities.
That's good. We're just going to take a quick break there. We'll be back after this commercial.
From the CFAX 1070 Community Cruiser, here's what's happening.
The UVic Center on Aging is celebrating its 20th anniversary, and you can help raise money for scholarships so students can follow their dreams. Check out the Family Fun Drive-In Night, Saturday, September 8th at UVic's parking lot 10. The main feature is a league of their own, and it starts at 7:30. Greek Fest runs Tuesday, August 28th through to Monday, September 3rd at the Greek Orthodox Church and Community Center. Greek Fest is a time for food, fun, and community. It's a free family event with partial proceeds supporting Tour de Rock. Scotiabank and BCSPCA pause for a cause walk is Sunday, September 9th at Clover Point. Critters gather at 9 and the walk begins at 10:30. Register now and start collecting pledges. You can find out more about these and other events on our website, cfax1070.com.
Watch for our Mini Cooper Clubman at local events. Sponsored by Mini Victoria and Windsor Plywood. From Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Hi, I'm Rhonda from Cruise Experts Travel. We at Cruise Experts Travel are part of the Cruise Connoisseur Club of Oceania Cruises and offer many added amenities such as prepaid gratuities, shipboard credit, and free hotel. I would love to tell you all about Oceania Cruises and our special offers. Call me, 250-384-8100. Imagine Alaska 2013, cruise only from $11.99. Call me, 250-384-8100, your local Oceania expert.
Now it's time for Cookery Q&A with Professor Pete. Professor, Michelle S. wants to know if all cookware can be used on any type of stovetop.
Short answer, no.
Maybe you should give us the longer answer now.
Well, there are many different types of stovetops, electric, gas, induction, glass. For the best results, Penna & Company recommends you come in and talk to their experienced staff about which cookware will work best with your stovetop.
And there you have it, Michelle. A great meal every time with the help of Penna & Company in Broadmead Village.
I thought talking about cemetery and cremation pre-planning would be unpleasant, but visiting Royal Oak Burial Park proved otherwise. The staff are welcoming, they're helpful, they explained the choices I need to make, the options they offer, and provided price lists for their services. All of this help was provided at no cost, no obligation, and in a no-pressure environment. After visiting Royal Oak Burial Park, I discovered they're genuine about service, not sales. You won't regret visiting Royal Oak Burial Park on Falaise Drive or online at robp.ca.
Whether it's snowmageddon, windpocalypse, or a boringly nice day, weather you can count on. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Welcome back. You're listening to Public Eye Radio on CFAX 1070, Victoria's News Authority. Bruce and John and I were getting around to government and politics, and John was getting ready to throw down the gauntlet and a challenge. And what we were talking about was, okay, we are going to have a provincial election this year. There are some issues that seem to not get much attention from the provincial government, or haven't for some time, and maybe here's an opportunity to do that.
If you want to talk about gauntlet, I haven't heard Canoodle yet, so okay. You've got 45 minutes. Nonetheless, we've talked literally ad nauseum here about amalgamation, around municipal cooperation. We could continue talking about that for better part of a week, 8 hours a day. Who cares? Yeah. What's actually going to be – what's going to happen?
What's going to happen?
What's going to happen?
Yeah.
You pointed out – that this is a provincial responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
As a businessman, you naturally get involved in the politics of the region and provincially, and I have been for the better part of 30 years. Mm-hmm. And politics is very much a science. It's a business.
Mm-hmm.
And when folks sit down and try to figure out which ridings they want to win, you break it down and you see how many votes you can get.
Mm-hmm.
You see where those votes can come from. You add them up and you hope you're going to get more than the other person. What are the mechanics here? What actually – I agree with you. Most likely we will have a lot of NDP MLAs from this region mm-hmm. in the next government.
Mm-hmm.
What's the motivation? Why would they change?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, yeah, in business, I've got to get stuff done to move ahead.
Yeah.
Is this going to go anywhere? Right. What is the position of the upcoming, most likely inevitable NDP government on this issue?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I guess I just go and I put my business hat back on and say, okay, you know, what are the things that we need as a region? You know, and we talked about transportation a bit earlier, and we need a regional transportation authority. So when you go and talk to the provincial government, they say, well, what? Do you want something like TransLink? Because, you know, that doesn't work worth a darn.
Mm-hmm.
And I respond, well, you may not be very happy with the governance model, but you've got, I don't know what, $25 billion worth of investment in transportation infrastructure in the Lower Mainland mm-hmm. in the last 10 years. You've got the Surrey Perimeter Road. You've got the Evergreen Line. I mean, you've got all of this rapid transit. You know, you've got, you know, a $385 million roof on BC Place Stadium. You've got the new conference center. You know, the investment's been pretty good. And, mm-hmm. you know, so, yeah, I'll take one of them TransLinks. Mm-hmm. And I'll put up with the governance challenges because I need to solve the transportation issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you go back to... What are the other things we need? Well, we need to do something with our inner harbor. We need to do something with Belleville Street Terminal. It's an incredibly important part of that. Belongs to the provincial government.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't been able to get any movement on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to expand our airport, both our runway and our customs clearance, and we can't get money from the provincial government for that.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the things that I really need in order, or we need as a region, that I can identify as I sit here today saying, hey, those things are really important. We need to move them forward. We need to move those forward. How mm-hmm. do we best do that?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it may be the time of the pendulum swing where, oh, well, in June of next year, we may be predisposed to getting a little more money here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
and that's great.
That is
good.
And, mm-hmm. You know, so
for business.
So mm-hmm. this, but this may really be about, you know what? It just comes in spurts. Mm-hmm. It's our turn to get the piece of the provincial infrastructure money.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it has gone to the Lower Mainland for the last 10, 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
Do they deserve it? Yes. Do other regions deserve it? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this may be the opportunity for the other regions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not sure it's a left or right or NDP or Liberal thing. It's a what are the economic things we need and how do I best get
them? Well, Bruce, exactly. This goes back to the mechanics of politics. From a politician's point of view, it is. It's all about left and right and bashing the other person.
Yep.
From a business perspective, it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do to help cultivate healthy communities and healthy business?
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't heard that from one side of the ledger.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Bob, gauntlet number three,
mm-hmm.
get those people into our show and mm-hmm. let's find out what's going on.
Well, but let me ask you a question. So you haven't, you know, heard that from one side of the ledger, meaning the NDP, which, you know, let's face it, they're following a tried and true strategy right now, which is that, you know, when your opponent is falling, get out of the way.
As they should. That's good politics.
You know, that's just – there's few laws in politics. That's one of them. And but, you know, there's going to be a point in time when, okay, so who are you and what are you going to do? And I guess one of the questions I've always wanted to pose is that, you know – Or that I've always found remarkable, as you know, someone who's lived here 20 years now, but still, you know, tends to look at how things are done here and formed from a perspective of having lived elsewhere. You know, this divide between, you know, supposedly, you know, business and the socialist hordes on the other side. It's bizarre. It's almost like it's taken off on a life of its own. A lot of the fault
it
for
has.
It, well, I think a lot it of has. I think a lot of the fault for it has to do with the media, because of, you know, the media's need to put things into very quick, easy, simple categories, so that there is a default on the part of people who cover politics in this province to start, you know, using those categories and talking about that. And one of the things that concerns me is the degree to which that as a result of that, what happens in politics, and John, you and I have had this experience, is that people don't know how to talk to each other because they're trying to get over this. They don't know how to ask each other questions. They don't know how to, you know. I've always said to business, you know, to New Democrats, you know, business is really kind of simple. You know, they're not sort of, oh, lower taxes, do this. They're sort of like, tell me what you're going to do and then do it. Give me a predictable planning horizon. I want predictability in government. I don't want government in my life. I just – or if it's going to be in my life, I want to know where and when it's going to be in my life so I can plan for it accordingly. That's all I want from government is predictability.
And you know what? I'm going to go back to draw an example, federal and national governments. I mean, mm-hmm. right now one of the tremendous advantages that we have in the economic recovery is that we have a stable majority government mm-hmm. in Ottawa. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't really matter which one it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? It doesn't matter which party's there.
Yeah.
What matters is that it's stable and it has a direction and it's going somewhere. Mm-hmm. And you can deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side of the ledger, you have the U.S. government.
Oh, yes.
Right? Where you've got a president who leads a country who can't seem to get anything through the houses, and their economic recovery is incredibly stalled.
Well, you see, that's an interesting point.
You know, yeah. So once again, the ideology – one could argue is really important, but in reality, it's the stable government that's important and where you go and what the decisions are. It's one of my firm beliefs.
Well, you know, I mean, a lot of people, and it's become in vogue when you know, particularly in the last 10 years, for people to be very critical of parliamentary government, and I think unfairly.
Yeah.
And you just hit on one of the key reasons why. I mean, you look at the U.S. And what a lot of people don't understand about the American system of government was that it was actually designed to not work. I mean, that was on the
right,
the draft,
of the, way. Yeah.
The drafters of the of the Constitution were coming out of a revolution against authority, and it was also 13 states who didn't know each other, didn't care, didn't have a lot to do with each other, and they specifically designed a system of government that would made deadlock inevitable. And look at how they're doing as a result. You know, we have a completely different system of government where if you have a majority, you can basically do whatever you want to do. And
well, it frustrating me, frustrating other folks I talk to, is this tendency now for politics to be living and reacting on the fringes.
Mm-hmm.
There is clearly a political ideology that helps the poor and the unfortunate in our society. Mm-hmm. There is ideologies that help the rich and help big business
mm-hmm.
get it.
Mm-hmm.
Who's looking after the middle?
Yeah.
Who's looking after the folks like myself, most of my friends,
mm-hmm.
in which we don't go around to dinner parties saying, are you an NDP or a liberal? Generally speaking, I go, how are things going? Mm-hmm. How are you doing? Are you making ends meet? Are you able to go on a holiday?
Mm-hmm.
Who's talking to that group? Because mm-hmm. I don't think in this day and age that most people are.
Mm-hmm.
And that middle class has got to start to talk and demonstrate that we need to have some answers around simple things.
Well, you know, it's a good point, John, because the middle class used to be the focus of politics. Used to be the focus of politics in this country and in the United States. And that's been lost. And statistically, you know, demographers will tell you also the middle class is starting not to completely disappear, but, you know, they're it's not the group of people it once was. Bruce, there was something you wanted
sure
to
say. Sure it is.
I think that there's a significant challenge for politicians, and I give them their due, is one of the challenges right now is they hear the loudest voices.
Mm-hmm.
And the loud voices have gotten so much louder, and I think that's got to do with new media. It's mm-hmm. got to do with the way that media treats them. You know, in order to hear from the masses, those that aren't showing up to protest at City Hall or someplace, it actually takes a fair bit of work to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And our media outlets simply, you know, don't have that kind of manpower anymore. They need to get the story out, you know, five of them a day, and I can't wander around neighborhoods and talk to people and see what they think. So, you know, I have a tendency to phone those couple of folks, right? So,
yeah. Okay. Well, we're just going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back in a second and continue talking about the economy and politics.
It's a beautiful, hot, sunny day, and you're cruising down the highway. You're feeling good, totally confident. You've had Island Muffler and Brake Auto Care service your vehicle. Preventive, proactive maintenance ensures your car is operating safely and efficiently. No worries about breakdowns. And like so many Victorians over the past 40 years, Island Muffler and Brake is the shop you trust. Island Muffler and Brake Auto Care, expert care for your car. And that's a good feeling.
Island Muffler and Brake.
Shop with confidence at Save-On Foods. We're priced right. Western Family Whole Boneless Pork Loin, just $1.99 a pound. Or Purex Bathroom Tissue, 12 double rolls, card price, 2 packs for only $10. Plus, for exclusive offers on products you want, sign up at SaveOnFoods.com. Save-On Foods, BC's very own since 1915.
Your smile, it's your passport to the world. So if you could make your smile as dazzling as possible, wouldn't you? Today's Dental can help. From whitening and cosmetic restorations to preventative care for the whole family. From a very experienced team of dentists and hygienists, Today's Dental has everything your smile needs. Today's Dental, taking care of smiles for over 25 years. On Oak Bay Avenue near Oak Bay Junction, new patients always welcome. Call 382-5233 for an appointment or visit online at todaysdental.org.
Have you been thinking about having a professionally designed sprinkler system installed? You'll want to enjoy your summer without dragging hoses and trying to water your valuable plantings and lawns properly. So trust the team at Halzer Service Irrigation to install a sprinkler system right the first time and on budget. Call 250-652-0112 today for a free estimate and to save up to 40% on your water bill. Let Halzer Service Irrigation talk to your plants. And they'll make every drop of water count.
The grand opening sale is in its final days at the all-new Dodds Furniture and Mattress location in Nanaimo and Dodds in Victoria.
Both stores are overflowing with furniture for every room in your home. So hurry in while the phenomenal specials last.
Plus, Dodds has Canada's largest Serta mattress gallery with over 40 beds to choose from.
With nothing down, no interest, and no payments for a full year, you'll save even more. The grand opening sale ends soon at Dodds Furniture and Mattress.
715 Finlayson across from Mayfair and now in Nanaimo.
What matters to you matters to us. From local stories to global perspectives, trust CFAX 1070 when you need to know. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Welcome back. You're listening to Public Eye Radio on CFAX 1070, Victoria's News Authority. We're into our last half hour now, and we've been talking about the economy and we've been talking about government, a whole number of different levels. We were talking about municipal government and regional government, and now we've turned to provincial government and the impending provincial election. I think we got to a very interesting point that needs to be underlined and highlighted. And that's that I'm sitting here with two chamber guys. I've got a member of the board of directors of the BC Chamber. I've got and a past president of the Victoria Chamber. I've got Bruce Carter, who's CEO of the Victoria Chamber, on the board of directors of the Canadian Chamber. And what I kind of hear them saying, and, you know, hold on to your seats, British Columbians, and particularly, you know, you guys in the press gallery who like to make a lot about of this stuff all the time. I hear these two guys saying, we don't care whether it's a Liberal or NDP government provincially. We care about other things. Is that what I'm hearing?
Oh, absolutely. If I go and talk to my members and say, so what do you think about what's happening in the ledger? I don't care. I'm trying to make payroll.
Yeah.
Right? You know, sorry, I've got boxes to unpack. I need to get stuff out on the shelf. I need to hire some folks. I need to do something. Get out of the way. Let us do business. You know, and you've got some infrastructure things you need to take care of, and they're important to us, but my day-to-day is about my employees, you know, and whether or not, you know, we feel safe on our streets in Victoria.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we're involved with the chamber. However, we're involved with a bunch of other stuff as well.
Yeah.
I would better characterize us as small business representatives.
Mm-hmm.
And in that instance, that's over 80% of the business community in this province.
Mm-hmm.
And I might argue across Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're looking for policies that government can implement that would help small business, mm-hmm. meet our payroll, mm-hmm. yeah. make a better community. Mm-hmm. I'd like to know, how would government impact credit facilities? How would it make it easier for small business to impact to get some financing? Mm-hmm. The cash flow financing, those sorts of things are very important for growth. How about innovation and creativity? Mm-hmm. I'm just stating a fact. I'm not stating an opinion. Mm-hmm. But the federal liberals in the early 80s, later 80s, early 90s, were very good at this, mm-hmm. providing incentives for business to come up with new ideas. Mm-hmm. I don't think the federal conservative government is into that yeah. place.
No.
Okay,
no.
And well, I think also thirdly, I'd like to know. I don't have a capacity to market to China, to India, to these sorts of things. That is a role for government. Mm-hmm. Whether you're right, left, green, rhino, orange, I don't care. Can you just tell us how you're going to help us? Mm-hmm. In those instances where help can make a difference.
Yeah, and we draft up policies around our board table and at our committees that help business, that mm-hmm. address the business issues. And they don't, at the top of the policy, say, this is for a Liberal government or this is for an NDP government. They say, this is what we need to have happen. Mm-hmm. So one of those is, we need to address the workforce housing issue. We need to address affordable housing. It's a significant challenge. There are some things governments can do around tax treatment to actually help that issue. Mm-hmm. Governments. I don't care which one. Mm-hmm. I need the tax law changed. You know, I need some infrastructure investment in some of the things that require government money to do and should. You know, Belleville Terminal, the harbor, you know, looking at the airport and those facilities and that transportation. And indeed, BC Ferries is another one where we've got a lot of work to do. I'm not talking about what government's there. I'm mm-hmm. talking about
what
needs
to happen
is. Mm-hmm. When we look at tourism, one of the things we need is greater investment in marketing in the markets that we need to get here, because we need to do more. It doesn't matter, once again. So very much more outcome oriented than a lot of people think. You know, our members and the members of the chamber, you know, I don't know how they line up politically, and I don't want to know.
Yeah.
Right? What I care is what they care about the business issues. You know, I can tell you that, I think that our business community, which is a term I hate because, you know, when you walk home and you cut the grass, you're still in the business community, or do you become a community member at that point? when you're at the open, when you're watching your kids playing soccer, are you a business person or a community person? It just strikes me as a silly determination. Yeah. But our business community who votes, I can tell you that they have a tremendous social conscience. Mm-hmm. They have a tremendous environmental conscience, mm-hmm. And they have a significant business acumen. Mm-hmm. That's who they are. That's what we try and reflect as a chamber. And that's neither left, right, orange, red, or blue.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, earlier, and John, you touched on this, that so much of politics, you know, seems to occur on the margins or with the marginal and two extremes of something. And it seems to me that, you know, there is an extreme people perceive, at least in business in this province, and that there are some people, maybe self-appointed people, who, you know, tend to speak or try to present themselves as speaking on behalf of the business community and make no qualms about making it very clear that, you know, a new Democrat government would be absolute, complete, total disaster. You know, that the socialist hordes are indeed at the gates. And I guess my comment would be, so often we think that the margins are on the left, but there are also margins on the right.
I agree with you, okay? Yeah. So let's bring it back to the middle. This strategy and policy of painting Adrian Dix as some fellow from the 90s who did the following things, mm-hmm. frankly, within the context of a small business guy, kind of don't care,
yeah.
okay?
Yeah.
Interesting discussion, certainly historical context, don't care.
Yeah.
What are you going to do for me in today's world, mm-hmm. in today's society? And you're going to tell me that someone like that hasn't grown, matured, changed? You know, come on. I certainly have in the past 15 or 20 years. Mm-hmm. Just tell us how to do this looking forward on these sorts of issues that impact small business and impact a middle class, of which still is the majority of our society.
Mm-hmm. How long do you gentlemen think, gentlemen and you, John, that you know, how long is the public going to be willing to wait? How long is the business community going to be willing to wait? And I accept your point, Bruce. We got to stop talking about the business community as sort of being this entity. I mean, it's a mistake that, you know, I'm an old government guy, so I make that mistake. Yeah. I think it's one of the biggest mistakes that New Democrats make in not understanding business, and that they think that there's like this group of people over there that are the business community,
and they're totally separate. Those people don't go to Thrifty's in Fairfield to shop.
And it's like, you know, and you can, exactly, yeah, you can throw a blanket over them and just, you know, watch them. I'm trying to remember where I was going with that.
That's right.
I think that it lends itself naturally to the folks, generally speaking, want to know soon, because yes, we're now into nine months.
Yeah.
I've often said in the course of running a small business that I should really take August and December off. Mm-hmm. Because those are times when folks sort of don't generally think about these things, generally speaking.
I guess
after Labor Day, we're into it.
Okay. And you know what? I think the last thing we want is an American-style election where all we do is talk about what the president may or may not do for 2 years without actually getting on with governing. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm in no rush to hear about which politician wants to do which. I'm not sure I care until April. That's okay. When the writ drops, right? Okay. And, you know, and 45 days later, we'll vote. And if you could just get on with governing until then, I'd be happier.
Well, you see, I think that's interesting because I can tell you, and John, I was going to say this in response to your comment, I don't think you're going to learn anything until April. Yeah. Because, you know, politically, again, you know, putting on my political hat, they'd be making a mistake. Yeah. But the rule is, you know, you don't give your opponents anything to shoot at. Yeah. And so I think what I expect to see, and if I were advising the Democrats, what I would advise them to do is, you know, very much as close to the election as possible, maybe even after the writ is dropped, you release a document, a plan that is modest and achievable, and that you have a 30-day, 60-day, 90-day, 1 year timetable for things that you can actually do, and you signal to everyone, okay, this is what the world's going to look like the day after you elect us.
Yeah, but Bob, we don't live in that world. We don't live in a world where we're going to wait and not really ask or encourage these two governments and government in waiting to tell us what they're going to do.
Well,
that doesn't work that way.
There'd be
no media at 6 o'clock.
But I'm going to jump on your media point, because the challenge is that the media out there are going to paint one party as the one that's going to double government spending, and they're going to paint the other party as the one that's going to eliminate personal income tax. And neither one of those are true.
Exactly.
But it's the only way that I could create a news story.
Well, precisely.
And so now I, as a voter, have got to figure out what the real reality is. Well, and that's the challenge is, you know, I don't think it's clear on either side as to what the strategy is and what it looks like. Does it need to be until April? No. But the media is out there going, I need to have a strategy today, because otherwise what am I going
to
report?
I want to come back to this, but we have to take a quick commercial break.
How Bell makes today better.
Let's go to the Bell inbox. Scott from Vancouver writes, I talk to friends all across Canada. What can I do to get my long-distance charges down? Well, Scott, the days of paying for long-distance in Canada are over. With Bell Mobility's most popular plans, all calls across Canada are now local. Bell is offering everyone in BC no long-distance charges with activation on a 3-year term.
Offer valid for a limited time. Hurry into a Bell store for details. Bell, staying in touch just got better.
A new roof is a big investment. One of the most important decisions you can make for the protection and value of your home. Before you do anything, look into a steel roof from Irwin Industries. It's fireproof, moss-free, with clean lines and concealed fasteners. Available in over 40 colors, your new roof will last virtually forever. When it comes to the roof over your head, go with a proven system from a proven company. Irwin Industries, 875 Viewfield Road, IrwinVI.com. Call 382-5154.
The grand opening sale is in its final days at the all-new Dodds Furniture and Mattress location in Nanaimo and Dodds in Victoria.
Both stores are overflowing with furniture for every room in your home, so hurry in while the phenomenal specials last.
Plus, Dodds has Canada's largest Serta mattress gallery with over 40 beds to choose from.
With nothing down, no interest, and no payments for a full year, you'll save even more. The grand opening sale ends soon at Dodds Furniture and Mattress.
715 Finlayson across from Mayfair and now in Nanaimo.
You were right. Kayaking is excellent.
You know what else is great? That whale.
What?
Don't panic. It's way the heck out there. You'll be fine.
Ah!
Sorry, dude.
I'm good. I'm all good. No worries.
Some things are closer than you think, like the JBI Pub and Restaurant at the James Bay Inn. Come by for breakfast, lunch, or dinner and experience great home-style cooking with fresh ingredients made from scratch. The JBI Pub and Restaurant at the James Bay Inn. Really good. Really close. Corner of Government and Toronto.
I will be the next face-up champion.
Tuesday on Space.
Follow me.
Join 14 master makeup artists.
You need to prove yourself to the nation.
In the ultimate battle.
Ah!
I have a goal, which is to win every single challenge.
Of imagination.
I have one thing to say about it. Spectacular.
Who will be the next big name in movie makeup and special effects?
All right, guys, time's up.
Face Off, all new episode, Tuesday at 6.
This all starts now.
On Space. No limits.
Adam Sterling here. Join us every weekday noon hour here at CFAX 1070 for the day's most comprehensive look at news, sports, and weather. Plus, we discuss and debate the issues of the day with the Lunch Bunch.
Adam Sterling and the Lunch Bunch on CFAX 1070.
Welcome back. You're listening to Public Eye Radio on CFAX 1070, Victoria's News Authority. We're in our last segment here, and we started off almost 2 hours ago saying, well, you know, we're going to do some table setting for the next year, and we're going to start off with what is the most important issue still driving everything. That's the economy. And, hey, big surprise. We're still talking about
it. Yeah, who said that once? It's the economy, stupid? Was that Clinton?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, actually, it was James Carville who sort of told him to say that. And we've got sort of to an interesting point just before we went to the break, and that's that, you know, on the one hand, Bruce is saying we don't need to know what the parties are going to promise, either one of them, until April. And on the other hand, we have, you know, Mr. Impatience personified, Mr. Jurisic saying, no, I want to know now. Well, whichever way it works, I can guarantee you're not going to find out until next April. Okay? I mean, someone will, from a political point of view, someone will be making a pretty big serious error if they start, you know, running out the platform between now and then. But it does get to the point, which we started to talk about, you know, there's 6 o'clock news. We have to talk about something. And so, you know,
for about 15 seconds, I might add.
Well, but, you know, but here we go to, you know, I mean, personal experience having, you know, sort of being trained first in government. I rarely, when I was actually working in government, I rarely paid attention to the media or read a newspaper or did a number of things. Just, you know, certainly nothing related to what I was doing. And whenever a clipping would end up in my in-basket from, you know, the clipping service because it was an issue I was dealing with, I'd look at it and go, where do they get this stuff? You know, and what are they talking about? And it's like people like to criticize spin, and I always like to say, yeah, but, you know, when you're in government or politics, if you don't tell them a story, they'll just make one up. And, you know, so to what extent is the discussion we're going to get between now and April actually about what people want to hear? We've talked a lot right now about, you know, what the middle and small business want to be hearing between now and April. We're basically saying the media will be talking about something else. Bruce, you made an interesting comment on the break, basically to the effect of, well, you know, if politicians want to talk to the middle or know what to talk to them about, maybe they should hear from them. And how does that happen?
Yeah, and certainly my observation right now is, you know, we're saying you're not hearing from the masses. You're hearing from the special interest groups here. You're hearing from those people that yell the loudest.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. But in the politicians' defense, they're the only people that are talking.
Exactly.
I mean, so there's this whole general populace that needs to actually start to talk a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, and if the media could spend any time, they'd wander around, you know, neighborhoods and other places and interview people and think about what their priorities are and what their vision is for the province. And don't ask them what they think of one leader or the other. Ask them what their vision is. Ask them what they want to do. Ask them what the outcomes they are. Mm-hmm. You know, if you could do that, you'd control the election.
Mm-hmm.
Because you would have told the politicians what the electorate wants to hear.
Mm-hmm.
I've had opportunity to speak to multitude of MLAs in our region, both from the government side and the non-government side. And I come out sometimes, you know, folks are saying, well, what is it you'd like to see? And I end up saying as a first thing, the way you two parties speak to each other in the legislature, that's not how normal people speak to each other.
Mm-hmm.
If at the very least...
That's how you and I speak to each other.
Well, we're not normal people.
Yeah, that's true.
But can there be a little bit... Can we be a bit more cordial? Can we be obviously more respectful? And can we actually deal with what people want to hear as opposed to what the special interests want to hear and what your party brass are telling you they want to hear?
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we can do that as well as some aspect or component of canoodling, I think we'd all get along a lot better.
Well, one comment I'd make, you know, I don't think that group, Bruce, that you're talking about, I don't think they've ever spoken.
No, I don't think they have.
I think what's changed, and this puts the onus back on government and politicians, what's changed is government and politicians in particular used to do a better job of asking questions.
Right. As opposed to reacting.
As opposed to reacting. And then we get into the reinforcing power of, you know, the 24/7 media and so on and so forth. Government used to do a better job of asking questions. Of talking to those people. You know, one of you talked about the media should be out talking to those people, not asking them which leader they prefer, but asking them about their life. That's what politicians used to do a much better job of. And, you know, it's always, you know, in my public service life and sort of quasi-political life of advising in many instances, you know, cabinet ministers and others, it was always my default position was, I said, you know, if you're going in to give a speech and you're not sure what to say, if you're giving a speech about what's happening in Ottawa and, you know, you're in Two Hills, Alberta, don't give that speech. Go get a microphone, stand at the front of the room and ask questions.
Yeah, it's and you know, leadership is tough work. Right? You know, leading and making the right decisions means oftentimes not making popular ones,
mm-hmm.
you know, but making the right one for the right reason, you know, given the right information and knowing what the needs are of the city, country, province,
mm-hmm.
and saying, you know, I know that the reporters don't like this one much,
mm-hmm.
but it's the right thing to do, whatever that is. Right?
Well, I think it's very interesting. You know, the Alan Gregg has done a lot of interesting polling over the last couple of years about what people really want, and what it keeps coming back to is they want the truth. And yep. and what you're saying is that, you know, public understands government's hard,
yep.
and there's choices to be made, and it's tough stuff, as you said. I mean, it's like. And I find it fascinating. You take a guy like Mark Carney, who's sort of like a rock star now, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
And, you know, there he is speaking to the United Auto Workers and not telling them what they wanted to hear when he started talking about, you know, the Canadian dollar being representing only 20% of the cost of our exports to the United States. And he got a standing ovation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't go in there and do anything other than say, you're wrong. John?
Well, I hope now that we're in, I suspect, beginning to wrap up, that we
John, why don't you go ahead?
Well, I think some of that sort of honest talk, we've certainly gone through an era of political correctness where you basically say stuff to not get in trouble. Mm-hmm. I think now we need to hear leadership that's starting to say stuff that we want to hear. And that people want to hear, and irrespective of where that falls into the political correctness and political ideology, that's what people want, mm-hmm. and I hope that that's what happens in the next 9 months, provincially.
Mm-hmm. Bruce,
yeah, there seems to have been this whole sort of shift in politics, I think, to trying to ignore reality. It's kind of like, well, I'm going to go out. I'm going to spend a bunch of money on the credit card. I'm going to spend all this stuff. The bill will never come. Mm-hmm. The bill always comes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it always does. You know, those things that you don't want to happen probably will because you forecasted that they will. So don't try and hide them, right? Deal with them. Deal with them up front. Be proactive and do your job as a leader, as a government. Mm-hmm. And I guess it goes against – that sometimes isn't very popular. So how do you get elected? Oh, I don't know. I haven't figured that part out. But we absolutely need our leaders to do – the right things, right? The tough things. Mm-hmm. Avoiding decisions just because they aren't very popular isn't necessarily the best.
Well, you know, and it's interesting. You talk about, you know, we had a discussion in the first hour about business and how people are doing business. And it's like, you know, if you do the things you need to do well, you will survive. In politics, they seem to be in a bad space where they're not focusing on doing the things that need to be done, saying the things that need to be done, and just assuming from that that they will be elected. They're focusing instead on being elected. It would be like a business person saying, I'm just going to focus on
marketing and the image.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Sales don't matter.
Yeah, sales don't matter. Sales don't matter. I mean, you know, who needs money, right? You know?
Yeah.
And what, you know, basically we're coming down to is do your job. And you will succeed.
Well, I know that it's not fair in the last minute here to bring up this issue, mm-hmm. but and it might be a segue.
Apparently, he's going to anyway.
But it was a fair. It might be a segue to another show. But for somebody like myself, with four children, I've been involved in education and very much involved with raising these kids in our local schools. To have the kind of anger and an environment around this teacher, the teacher's remuneration, et cetera, saddened me. Mm-hmm. Saddened me completely.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for just throwing that in, John. God. Keeping it real here on Public Eye Radio.
You know what? Addressing K-12 education, probably a whole different show, but extremely important on our
Absolutely.
Economy.
And you know what? We already have plans to do that.
Yeah.
But that's our time, folks. You've been listening to Public Eye Radio on CFAX 1070, Victoria's News Authority.